I'm going to take a bit of a liberty, and I'm going to do some reading from the book of Luke, and perhaps even Matthew. Can you all hear me? You're all good? Okay. We're going to pretend we're Mary, and we're going to ponder these words in our hearts. From the second chapter of Luke. The angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Moving on. Now the time came in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea and the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child, and while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people, and for to you is born on this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. I wanted to visit Christmas again before we go to Colossians. So now the text in your book, or in your bulletin, from Colossians 3, starting at verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. The Colossians passage is one of my absolute all-time favorites to spend some time with. But when I found it as an alternate lectionary passage for one of the Sundays after Christmas, I had my doubts as to why it was here. At this time, it is still Christmas, both in the secular and in the liturgical calendars. But I found one answer this week on Facebook. One of my very, very good friends, a young colleague, has been forced to function through the entire Christmas concert season with a leg cast below the knee. She's been navigating with an orthopedic scooter on which she can place her knee to navigate. She wheeled herself on stage to a raised chair to conduct her choirs, and she took her accolades from that chair at the end of each song. And she's been posting pictures of the scooter that's been decorated with lights and encouraging notes from all of her students. But this week, as she convalesces at home, she posted a photo of her leg in the cast, which was covered with an oversized fluffy red sock with white polka dots. And she crowdsourced the question, and she said the question was this: how long can one get away with fuzzy holiday socks over a cast, even though the holiday is over? Just asking for a friend, she said. Well, there were an abundant number of responses, mostly quite in jest. As long as they keep your foot warm, until the fuzz wears off, to which she replied, that's no problem because I'm not walking on it. Well, certainly until Valentine's Day, the colors match. Oh, eat the Christmas cookies, and when they run out, then you can take it off. But mostly, most of them gave her absolute permission for as long as she wants to wear them and as long as she needs them. Something to think about. So however much in jest that she made her inquiry, it brought to the forefront a question that seems to be magnified in our society, that divines our obsession with keeping everything into a time slot, whether it's for observing holidays or seasons or birthdays or wearing proper colors on certain days or certain weeks for certain causes. And all the Christmas decor and the attire are part of that mindset, that certain practices are appropriate at certain well-defined times, and if you bleed over into another season, you have committed some social faux pas, or you're slow on the uptake, or just plain stubborn for a cause. Pick the one that fits. So the question from my friend here kicks in: how long can I get away with my joyful, colorful Christmas socks? Or how long do I get away with keeping my Christmas decorations up? Or enjoying my lighted tree? Or reading from the Christmas scriptures? Or how long can I get away with singing and listening to the Christmas carols? How long before folks will think that I have pushed the limit on Christmas? And how long can a worshiping congregation get away with celebrating the Christmas story before we must move on to other scriptures? But now, lo and behold, I found the Colossians passage, and it does just that. It moves on. No shepherds, no kings, no visit from the temple with Simeon, no baptism, just Paul's letter to the Colossians. How long can I get away with moving on? That was what I was asking. But then, why not? Everything that I just mentioned, the kings, the shepherds, is a reflection in this passage, and it has more weight and gives more weight and clarity through the lens of the Christmas story. So please allow me to take it apart and make some observations. The first one, the first sentence, as God's chosen ones, God chose his people. From Abraham on through the ages, he chose Mary. He chose Joseph. He chose Elizabeth to bear John the Baptist, who prepared the way for the world to hear of the Messiah's coming. God chose Simeon at the temple to meet and rejoice in the fact that he'd been promised that he would see the Savior before he died. We, as followers of Christ, are also members of that very long and sacred lineage. We are also chosen. Holy and beloved, also in the opening sentence. The entire cast of chosen people in the Christmas story are described as holy or sacred, or heavenly, or divine. The angel who appears to Mary in the first chapter of Luke is described as an agent of the Holy Spirit. And the angel goes on to predict that the Holy Spirit will visit Mary and that the child that she will bear will be holy and called the Son of God. And just 5 days ago, we celebrated the holiest of nights with candles and gentle lullabies. It's hard to imagine anything as reverent as the time that we spend welcoming the Christ child in the manger. Silent night, holy night. One of the most tactile figures of speech in the Colossians passage is that of clothing. And there was the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. If you've been near any newborns lately, swaddling has returned as a recommended method of making the child feel secure and warm. It's a tight wrapping of the child in very soft material, sometimes tucking one or both arms next to the body, surrounding it with a cocoon to ensure warmth and security, and it literally emanates the love that we hold for the child. So if we could just superimpose the image of Jesus, the Christ child, enveloped in the holiness of that night, and superimpose that onto our own selves as children of God, and surround ourselves with all of the qualities that Paul lists of compassion, of humility, and kindness, and all the things that embody our lives in Christ, we can truly maintain that sense of the Christmas spirit that we found last Monday evening at the manger. Clothe yourselves with love. Paul does move on in verses 13 and 14 to a directive toward forgiveness. One does not visit the manger at Christmas time without noting the entire story of Jesus' presence on earth. Jesus is our Savior, our forgiver of sins through his death on the cross. And to emulate him and his life here on earth means to be ever forgiving with those whom we encounter. It is a direct outcome of the love and the compassion that we foster as disciples of Christ. So naturally, it's an outcome of the Christmas story and warrants mentioning on this day and in Colossians. Another phrase that for in the Colossians passage that rings very loud and true to me for this season is the verse 16, where Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Every year at this time, we celebrate the very profound act of God in which he sends the divine to dwell on earth. Emmanuel has come. God is with us. He is dwelling here. He abides here. He has come to stay. This is the message of Christmas. And Paul nails it when he asks his followers to allow Christ to come into, to dwell, to abide in our personal spaces. Let Christ dwell within you, as he himself has come to be with us. When you invite and welcome the rich word of the gospel, you will enjoy peace, you will be endowed with wisdom, and you will live in gratitude all your life. And this is the promise that the events of the Christmas story bring to us on this day. So how long can we get away with enjoying Christmas and the story it tells? In my mind, forever. Because it is a lifelong journey that takes us into eternity. It is a story of and for the ages, and it is a story for all. And yes, we can and we should get away with allowing the Christmas scriptures to pervade our lives. It is the very life-giving and loving nature of Christmas that will sustain us through the year and through our lives. So finally, Paul tells us to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So I'm going to add one more song into your lineup today. It's very easy. I will teach it to you. But if you want to look at it, it's in the green hymnal, the Sing a New Creation on page 92. Let the words dwell within you. He came down that we may have. He came down that we may have hope. He came down